Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of 15 Minutes Cafe. 每周三来到15 Minutes Cafe 英语咖啡馆喝一杯老师们的本周主题特调，一起探讨国际文化时事、职涯、网络还有音乐等多元的主题，轻松吸收主题相关的词汇、惯用语和常用例句。Hello everyone, you are listening to John, and today I am very happy to invite again our beloved Lydia from 电商读书会. Welcome, Lydia.
Hello, 大家好，是电商读书会的 Lydia， 很高兴就是今天有机会跟 John 合作。
When Lydia is in the house, you guys, you know we are going to talk about everything that is happening in the digital space. So Lydia, today, what is happening?Especially in the first quarter of this year, we see a lot on the news and a little bit of the end of 2023. We saw this particular online fashion e-commerce brand that's buzzing around and that's on its way to an IPO.
Oh, so you are talking about Shein, right?
How do you pronounce that word? S-H-E-I-N. Do you pronounce Shein or Shein or...Shane.
Actually, it bothered me a lot in the past as well. But I think I read an article recently. Mm-hmm. It says the way you should call it, it's S-H-E, like it's she, right?
She.
And I-N.
Okay.
So you need to separate she and in. So it will be like Shane.
So it's two syllable word, nice and easy. S-H-E, she, and In. So Shein. Great. That's how I would pronounce it because I'm, you know, not good with brand names. When we talk about different brand names that originates from, let's say, Europe or, you know, sometimes some brands want to have fancy French names and Italian names, I don't really bother with it. You know, you pronounce it any way you like. To me, it's about whether you have money to pay for the luxury goods or the brands. Even if you can call it out in public and say, oh, I know that's from Shein, it's okay. It doesn't matter. You will get educated one day, right? Somebody will tell you, no, Lydia, you don't pronounce it that way. You know, that's how I get taught in the process.
Yeah, I think like in the past, I always sold the chocolate brand Godiva. It's called Godiva. Until like one day, my professor say, no, it's Godiva because it's not an English brand.
It's not an yes. Well, actually, now here's the kicker. We did an episode, Angel and I, also on 15 Minutes Cafe way back. I think it was last year sometime. It's actually pronounced Godiva.
Godiva.
It's actually pronounced
Godiva. Then why my professor told me it's Godiva?
Because they learned it from American advertising. So all the American advertising calls it Godiva.
Oh.
And so this is
kind of... 那为什么骗我啊?我们叫错。
So people get confused, right? From the West, you know, if you learn it from advertising and people read it often like that, and it sticks to some people, and then people share it with their friends and family, and that's it at the end of the day. But actually, it's called Godiva.Yeah, but...
Okay, interesting.
The brand is okay with the American and the Northern American market calling it Godiva. They don't want to correct that. It's okay. It's not a big deal.
Okay. I think the reason my professor told me like that is because he is American. That's why he say Godiva. I think that's
Which is fair. It's okay. You can pronounce it any way you want as long as you can afford it and enjoy it.You know what? For a person like me, maybe for some people who are not chocolate lovers, they don't really care. Godiva, Godiva, who cares?
As long as it's delicious, then it's fine.
And, you know, the better part of my childhood, to me, N-I-K-E is Nike, right? N-I-K-E is Nike. For a better part of my childhood, I pronounced it Nike. And so did all my friends. Until...I went to a store and everybody's like, Nike, Nike. And then I'm like, what the hell is Nike? And I got angry because it doesn't sound like a brand. And then only much later did I learn in college that Nike was named the goddess of victory. So Nike, the goddess of victory. So you pronounce it Nike. That's why.
Yeah.
If you don't know the origin story enough, you call it anything you want. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And I don't think Phil McKnight, the founder of Nike, I don't think he goes around the stores correcting people, right? He doesn't walk around the store
and say,
sir, it's called Nike, not Nike.
No, as long as you will buy, then
it's okay.
You can call it whatever you want.
You can call it whatever you want. So, did I buy Shein? No, and I still call it whatever I want.
Okay.
All right, so kidding aside, Shein is the e-commerce platform that is all the rage right now. It's all over the news. It's getting bigger. And if you Google Shein today, there are articles about, hey, the founder is so mysterious. They don't know where the founder's from. They only have a name, Chris Shi, and that's it. And he doesn't have a picture and this and that. And then also we've got TikTokers, the TikTok influencers, clamoring for more Shein fashion. And then on the other hand, we got other e-commerce platforms suing Shein. So Shein is at the center of attention recently. And I thought, wow, what exactly is Shein? What can we expect from Shein? And I'm very, very curious as to what you guys, Lydia, what do you guys, you know, from the digital marketing space see Shein? Is it going to be a monster very soon? Is it going to be something that everybody should know about and follow? Or is it going to be a fad? Give it 2-3 years and it will go away.
Well, I think it will not go away shortly, I believe. Because actually in the digital marketing or the digital e-commerce industry, Shein is something big. And it's a very popular and famous e-commerce site.
I learned about it about 2 years ago during the pandemic. When did you learn about Shein?
Well, actually, when I first noticed Shein, it's around 2020.
Okay, much earlier than I did. I read up about them 2022.
Yeah, I think the way I noticed this brand is quite interesting and I can share with you.
Okay.
So 2020 is the year that Caria and me just start doing the podcast.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's around like 3-4 years ago.
Yes.
And at that time, because Caria and I always went to the recording studio. Okay. We are now like now recording through online after pandemic.
Right.
We always went to the, you know, like recording studio.
Okay.
So at that time, I never search microphone, this kind of term on Google. Never.
True.
Like one day, I see a ad. It's a product recommendation ad provided by Shein on Instagram.
Seriously?
And Shein told me that, oh, this microphone might be something you were interested in. I was like, how did you know? How can you possibly know that I am doing something related to recording? Yeah, because I didn't search microphone. But probably based on my other search term, for example, podcast or recording room or how to record a better podcast show, this kind of keyword to identify that I probably has this need.
Yes.
So that's the time I aware of this brand because I feel like their algorithm, at least their media targeting, it's really, really specific and really good.
I can imagine. I mean, I would be shocked. Obviously, as a digital marketer, you are very careful not to give too much away. Digital footprints online. And all of a sudden, if they can recommend you somewhere, then that means they crawled your data very hard. Or they collected your data somewhere.
Yes. For example, like if today you check some brand or you check a specific item like a dress, then if you see, you know, like a recommendation about like dress or clothes, then you might not be shocked.
Yes.
But if they're showing something you never searched in the past, it's something like a very surprise.
To me, it's like alarm bells going off.
Yeah.
What did I do? Where and how did this happen? And the funny thing is, Shein is known for a fashion e-commerce site and not a microphone site or an electronic site. I don't think they sell electronics, do they? I don't believe so.
I think they sell some, but that's not their main items.
Ah, interesting. So it could be way back. They did have product categories that fitted you. But right now, Xing is, according to the Western media, most of the media are reporting them as the new face of ultra-fast fashion.
Ultra-fast fashion.
Zara and H&M used to be called fast fashion suppliers or fast fashion brands. And brands like Shein and Temu, now they are considered ultra-fast fashion brands.
So it's even faster.
Even faster. The turnaround times are faster. The designs get online faster. And let me quickly pull up an article and read this to everybody. Because I was surprised. I don't even know how they made this possible. And Lydia, maybe you can tell us a little bit of this. So we all know about fast fashion. And we grew up with fast fashion. And we used to buy fast fashion. And I still do too. But with the new landscape now, it's Shein. And Shein apparently is using some AI technology to identify trends and an online-only model to churn out thousands of garments every day. And when I say thousands, here I have an article saying that Shein put out 2,000 items per day. Every day, 2,000 items. And in 2022, Shein put out online, on their online store, 315,000 items. And Zara, in the same year, only put out 4,400 items. So that tells you how much bigger of a collection Shein has opposed to H&M and Zara.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. Let me read that again. So for Zara, it's in 2022, it's 6,850 new items. H&M, 4,400 in the same year. And Shein, 315,000. So technically, if we look at the number of new items that's been pushed out in the year, Shein is way beyond what Zara and H&M is doing.
Yeah, I think there are many research articles saying that they believe there are two main reasons makes Shein become very trending this day. Like first one is they have a very low price for everything. So their price is very competitive.
Yes.
Than other brands. For example, like Zara or H&M, you say. And secondly, it's the item they have. It's much more than other brands.
Right. So more choices.
So people can have more choices with lower price.
Right.
So these two key reasons makes Shein can become very, very popular.
And from the numbers, we also see that they put out new items, basically 2,000 new items every day. So for any shopper, having a wide variety is very, very interesting and intriguing. It pulls you back because you know that tomorrow you come and you browse Shein again, you will have new items to shop. So you can always get the latest and the greatest. Maybe they are not very ultra high quality or luxury material based goods. However, the attraction is whatever I see on TikTok or whatever I see on the Oscars or Emmys or something that I see on the internet. If you want something very similar to what you saw from any influencer or for any celebrity online, you can probably find it at Shein. The chances are you can probably find it at Shein because they have a large collection of clothes and they update their new product items every day. So you would try your luck over there. And then if you can buy it at a very affordable pricing or inexpensive pricing, Bob's your uncle, you win. So it's bargain hunting. You know, it's fun to always go back to Shein to check it out. And of course, talking about its business model, the ultra fast fashion comes in also at the operation side because they're not only able to use AI to produce and upload 2,000 new designs every day, new product every day. They also sell them in much, much smaller batches than Zara and H&M. So only when they notice from, or only within their AI system, only when they find that an item or a relevant item becomes very popular, they will place more orders with the suppliers. But before then, it's all on very small batch orders. So the chances are you buy something today and tomorrow it's gone. And if you want it, you have to maybe wait, or if it's popular, you have to wait. Or if it's not popular, then you will see new designs the day after. That's how fast they are trying to pitch and pique the buyer's interests.
Yeah, so if you can see the new item every day, so then, you know, like it's in some sense, it encourages you to go back, open the app to, you know, like find some items.
Yes.
Next day.
It's like treasure hunting. You want to find something cool. And of course, having all the items at such an affordable price, and I checked out Shein before we started recording today, it's amazing. $50 NT, $65 NT, $80 NT, $110 NT. Honestly, I don't know how they make their money, but it's amazing. Okay, so if you are very budget conscious shopper, then Shein is definitely targeting your type of customer if you're budget conscious. And now here's the next thing. Because they offer that ultra fast fashion appeal, so a lot of the things that influencers wear and celebrities wear are also available on this site. It makes this website for ladies, I think, irresistible. If you don't buy anything from it, it's almost like impossible, because you will be able to find something you like, something that tickles your fashion sense.
Yeah, I think for the clothes industry, one thing is very important to the customer is they want to see how does it looks like when, you know, like people wearing it. It's not like how does the clothes looks like on your website. They want to see like how people wear in the everyday of their life.
Not photoshopped, right? They want to see something more real. And the photos, are they way better than the photos we see on other e-commerce websites?
I mean, Shein knows that. But, you know, like sometimes when we see the customer review on, let's say, the e-commerce site.
Yes.
The photo won't be pretty because not everyone are photo editor. Not everyone knows how to take a good picture.
Right.
So if the picture is not good or not attractive enough, then other customer won't get interesting in this product. So Shein is really smart. They cooperate with the influencer that very popular on TikTok or some other social media. So they offer
Instagrammers, TikTokers.
Instagrammer or TikToker, they offer them certain clothes based on their style, I guess. And then this influencer or this celebrity will, you know, like try this outfit and take a picture. But because they are really good at Photoshop things or like photo edit things, so that's the way they attract their fans. So they are good at it. So when they share this photo with Shein, Shein actually have enough material to show people, like normal people.
Right.
How does it look you know, like
regular people not but, models.
Yeah, but they are not, you know, like regular people as us. They are still like celebrity, but maybe like the micro influencer. This type of people.
If you think about it, I think why people prefer to buy things that's relevant to them, or they would watch out for different influencers on TikTok and Instagram, is because they feel this closeness to the influencer, right? And then maybe she's got the same figure as you, or she's got the same preference as you in terms of tastes, or she has some personality that's very similar to you. So you feel there's a closeness there. Whenever this particular influencer wears something on let's say, buying from Shein or from Zara or wherever, you would more likely be more receptive to it, and then you would want to follow and watch and eventually buy.
Especially the price, it's very competitive.
I have a very interesting number here for you and to share with you guys. In US, they did a quick survey on Shein, and the average Shein shopper spends $100 a month on Shein, on clothing.
Well, you know, actually $100, it's not much.
It's not a lot of money. But remember, let's go back to the Instagram and all the TikToker influencer advertising they did for Shein. I've watched a few of those videos. They call it the Shein Haul, H-A-U-L, the Shein Haul. So they will start by saying, hey, hi guys, I've got another Shein haul. So which is a huge box with a lot of Shein goods. And then they start by saying, I got all this for just $100. And then unbox the brown box. And then they would spill out everything from inside of the box to show for $100 you can buy a ton of clothes. That gets people excited, right? So yeah. The unboxing videos become like a treasure hunting video. Like, I got this t-shirt for $5.50. Mm-hmm. I paid for this bikini for $6. Something like that. And that gets people really excited. Like, wow, you know, where can I find a bargain? And fashionable bargains at that. So $100 on clothes, I do understand for female shoppers, it's nothing much. But this is the average shopper. So they have accumulated quite a bit of regular shoppers. And here, the number for North America, of course, this is an article from Business Insider. They say Shein's average customer in Northern America is 34.7-year-old woman who earns $65,300 in annual income. And because they are more willing to spend on women's clothing, they spend around an average of $100 per month. The $100 per month is already 60% higher than the average woman in US.
Okay.
So Shein shoppers go crazy. Originally, I thought Shein would be an e-commerce website that targets the younger crowds, right? The Generation Zs. But now it looks like the average customer is around 30-ish. So 25 to 35. A little bit of the Gen Z and a little bit of the Gen X as well.
Mm-hmm. For clothes industry, most clothing company, their customers' age is between this.
Between 25 and 35, right?
Yeah, I think that's their key target audience.
That's where the money is, I believe. Just unfortunate that we're not in the clothing business, you know? Not in the same business. Right. So Lydia, we shared a little bit about where we got to know about Shein. And the next part I would like to share is the ultra fast fashion part, the production side of things. So on the website and on the app, we know Shein is doing a lot of data collection on its users and algorithms, machine learning, the latest tech. So there's a lot of AI there. Maybe you can pitch in and tell me a little bit about how you guys or your experience of how much effort it is to actually collect user data there. But on the production side, the reason why it's called the ultra fast fashion brand now is because the fast fashion companies like Zara and H&M, they take around 2 to 3 weeks for a product to be designed and then manufactured and then distributed. Okay, 2 to 3 weeks. So by the time it gets shipped out to the store, it's probably 2 months. Okay, plus minus 2 months, 2 to 3 months. However, Shein is able to do the entire process in 1 week. And the best part is how they try and improve efficiency is they sometimes will list the item, list the product without manufacturing any of it. So it only gets manufactured once you place the order. And that's because they have a very, very strong and efficient supplier network. And of course, there are news about they are holding their supplier network ransom and, you know, asking them to not work with any other distributors. So there are news of that, but they have become very, very efficient in that regard. And then they, according to the article, it's called the test and repeat model that Zara also uses. So this model, what they do is they commission third-party suppliers in China to produce very small batches of clothing of around 50 to 100 pieces per item. When it gets ordered online, then they produce 50 to 100 small batches. And if the item becomes popular, more of the item will be commissioned. They will make more of these items. If not, the item is immediately discontinued. So not only the AI will provide immediate response and data, and the production side of things, they also respond to the data that AI provides. This is, according to these articles, what Shein is really, really doing at its core. The whole test and repeat model with AI. So we cannot do without AI anymore today with all sales.
Yeah, I think so.
If you don't use AI to improve your customer experience, like we just mentioned, push out 2,000 items a day, push out more new items every day, and also make sure that your production is very, very efficient and remains low cost, that is the way forward. That is the way you keep growing and earn customers, repeated customers, that is. So people would go back. However, now, my biggest question, Lydia, is would we go back? Because we haven't started buying anything from Shein, have we? Have you bought anything yet from Shein?
No, not yet. Not for me. I always checking their website, but I haven't really purchased anything.
Why not? What is deterring you away from Shein?
Well, actually, if my audience from 电商读书会, they know a lot, I'm very sensitive of giving my personal data and any information.
So you were shocked when Shein actually pushed the microphone advert to you.
Is that the reason? I think that is the moment I was shocked and tried to download their app.
You did use their app.
Yeah, I do have their app, and I do sometimes check the item through their app. I just not really have the chance to purchase or do the convert on their platform.
So what is deterring you? You don't like their fast fashion, or you don't agree with their fashion, or you haven't found anything you really want?
No. I always find the interesting thing is I always can find something interesting or something I into it on their website. And because their algorithm is doing really a great job, so they always can recommend me something I might interested in.
I see.
Yeah, but as what I just shared, the blocker is they can do guest checkout. They only can do member checkout.
Right.
But I'm the person not really willing to share my personal data to, like every brand.
Okay.
So I, if I have a chance, I always do the guest checkout. And sometimes if the website don't provide the guest checkout, I will really think about, go to their physical store or, ask my friend to buy it for me or I check the app I have to see if they also operate the store on another marketplace or can I find a similar item on the platform or app that I already have a membership.
That is super understandable because I can't say I am very careful with my personal data, but for me, with first time shopping at any e-commerce site, I also prefer to do guest checkout. I don't like to just jump right in and register an account and put all my details in without knowing that I'm going to come back. Or I'm going to be a real regular customer of this website. So even for me, for Momo, I mean, we knew Momo for ages. And my Momo account was only registered just before the pandemic.
Okay.
Yeah. I also did most of my shopping through guest checkout, like you. I think it was because my parents wanted something. My brother also wanted something. And then I thought, it's okay. I don't want to have to deal with all the addresses. I want to be able to save them under the account, under my membership account. So I created and I registered an account. But other than that, I mean, I shop once or twice on Momo, and I've always gone with guest checkouts, just like you. So perhaps that's, yeah. Xing, if you're listening, perhaps that's what you need to do, okay? If you want to convert us, the users, well, give us guest checkout, and we will probably convert.
Yeah, I think that's also an issue that nowadays, every brand are very struggle. Why? Because in the past, we have a lot of data can check, but right. now because of the cookie list, so we are not able to, you know, like really... Right. have too many data, so we need to create a membership program to understand yes. how these people looks like what are the target audience I might need to focus on.
Right.
So we need this data, so that's why more and more brands are asking you to register on their website when they
let's put it this way, department stores are doing that too. They want you to register for their app. It's annoying.
Yeah, so it's easier for marketer to retarget these people to provide them a related product or, you know, like event that they might be interested in, so they will return and purchase more. That's our goal. But sensing nowadays, people, it's not like us in the past, we don't understand anything. People are more concerned about their data privacy.
Right.
So,
for sure.
At the same time, like more and more people are really thinking, if you don't provide me a guest checkout, then I don't buy it. This is also another trend we're seeing this day. So, yeah. I would say how you should balance this two situation. It's really hard, but like that's all the brand need to think about.
You know, once we get to personal data and privacy issues, like I said, I'm not very careful with my personal data. But again, I'm not trusting, right? If I look back at the way I behave and the way I interact with Momo, you know, although I do buy one or two items a year, but it doesn't mean I trust you entirely. You got to give me time. You got to ease me into it. And you got to be able to let something in your system or something in your marketing, something in your product line or in the branding of your e-commerce site, you would have to make me trust you a little bit more and convert me to register an account. And then I would gladly give you all my details, right? Like now, I think this year I purchased for my dad and my mom because they like to buy things on Momo. So I already bought, what, 5 or 6 items already on Momo for them? So my account works because we now trust Momo. Our whole family trusts Momo. But 4 years ago, we didn't trust Momo that much. So we are the consumers you guys want to target. So Xing, Momo, if you guys hear us, please target us, but give us something that we are able to trust you with. Before we wrap up today, Lydia, predictions for Xing this year. Do you think that Xing is going to get their IPO this year? I know it's a tough question because there are a lot of things at play, political and economics and everything. But would you like to see Xing IPO in the US this year?
I don't have any preference, but as you say, because this year's America, they will have the election. So I think it will make these things more seriously. Like, well, people will
be more sensitive.
They will review their application more carefully because even though they are a very popular and strong brand, but because it's from China, and I think like nowadays, you know, every time when people talk about China, and I don't like sometime during the election, American people will be very sensitive about that.
Very sensitive.
I think if they want to run the election, then they will probably take this case very seriously. So it's really hard for me to say whether they will get it, but I think If you want me to guess, I think probably they finally will get, but just facing some challenging.
And I think Shein is already penetrating Taiwan market. You ladies already know Shein for quite some time now. And it's great for budget-conscious Gen Zers. For me, I'm not exactly Gen Z, and I have trusting issues with these new e-commerce platforms. So it's got to give me another year or two. When Shein IPOs, for me, if Shein IPOs this year, then I would probably register an account and give them a try. Before then, they are not very transparent. They are not really open with how they operate. And everything just sounds too good to be true, in my view. You know, having AI and they can do all these wonderful things and a very efficient production system. It makes me wonder, something is too good to be true here. And, you know, only with their IPO we can really, really see from their filings and see their true operations and how they really run and their profitability and what the world is actually after from Shein. That's the way I look at it. So Lydia, before we end today, please tell all our friends at 15min.today where they can pick up your episodes at 电商读书会.
好，谢谢 John。就是如果大家今天听完Shein 的话题，觉得对其他电商的 topic 也感兴趣的话，就是欢迎到像任何一个平台，不管是 Apple Podcast 或者是 Spotify 或者是KKBox 这一类的平台，都可以直接搜寻电商读书会，那都可以听到就是我跟我的 partner Caria 跟大家分享。比如说最新的电商趋势、行销趋势，或者是其他数位相关的趋势。
That's right. So go check out and search 电商读书会 on all the major podcasting platforms. You'll be able to find them relatively quickly. And you guys, if you would like also the additional content that we provide in our VIP membership only programs, it is the transcript.And it is all the idioms that we use in our discussions. If you would like that, please go and check out the 15min's VIP membership program. So, guys, if you have any ideas or anything that you want us to discuss, please send us an email at ask15min@gmail.com or you're welcome to DM 电商读书会 on Instagram. Let us know and we will prep the next topic for you guys.So until next time, I will see you.
Bye.
Bye.
See you guys next time. Bye.
See ya.